got my bags packed, I'm on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 211. Today we're going to talk about townships, safaris, African music, and eating. You wouldn't believe me anyway. Today on the Amateur Traveler, we go to Johannesburg, South Africa. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into today's interview, I do have three news stories for you. In the first news story, a woman from Oahu was kicked off a plane in Tampa because she asked for an airsick bag. She was on a medication that made her feel nauseated, but the crew thought she might have the flu, and so she was kicked off the plane. What do you think? Is that something that is a good idea or a bad idea? Leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And speaking of things that are a bad idea, a woman was arrested last week because she wanted to make sure that her boss didn't miss a flight. She tried to delay the plane's departure by calling in a bomb threat. Not a good idea. And in case you haven't heard enough news about Tiger Woods recently, there is a new ad from Spirit Air that is apparently poking fun at Tiger Woods and his new marital issues. The ad from Spirit has fares as low as $9, and it's called the Eye of the Tiger Sale. And in the ad, a tiger is wearing a black cap and is shown crashing an SUV with a smashed-out window into a fire hydrant. Tacky. For links to those and other news items, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Alana Fairman, who is coming to us from New York City and come to talk to us about South Africa. Alana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Hi, everybody.
Now, we were going to talk about specifically Johannesburg, South Africa. How did you get to Johannesburg? What was this trip all about?
Well, I am a travel host. I work on television and online. And this trip for me was through an organization called ProjectExplorer.org. They're an online educational travel series for kids, all free, and they cover a different country every year. So this was in 2007. We went to do our project in South Africa. It was my first job with them. I've since gone back and covered two more projects with them. But it was a complete intensive project on all of South Africa, and spending a little bit of time in Johannesburg for this trip just changed me profoundly. I've since been back as well, and I'm going back again next year.
Excellent. And why? What was it about Johannesburg that really captured your heart?
You know, doing a little research for this podcast, I was looking up to see what Lonely Planet had to say about it, because there is just a vibe about, some people call it Joburg, some people call it Josie. There's just such a love in the people there, and I was trying to put my finger on it, this just kind of profound joy that you find in everyone that you meet. And Lonely Planet was interesting. They had said that Johannesburg is just the heartbeat of South Africa, and it really feels like that when you're there. For me, just the best parts about it are the people and the arts, but you kind of can't meet the people without feeling they're all infused with this artsy kind of heartbeat.
And what stands out? If I was to follow in your footsteps and go to Johannesburg, I really have to go see what?
As far as what you should see, the list is very, very long. There's this very cool area in downtown Johannesburg called Newtown. And it's this really vibrant artistic community. There's not only very, very cool restaurants around there, but that's where the Market Theater is located. If you don't know what the Market Theater is, it's a very, very famous theater the world over. It's known for, during the apartheid years, putting up some very controversial plays that kind of spotlighted what was going on in the government there. Some very bold theatrical works came out of that. But it's also really cool because it was built out of an old market. It's called the Market Theater because it was an old fruit and vegetable market. And they keep all of the signs up as an homage to their past. It's very neat. So you're walking through the lobby, you're even when you're sitting in the audience, I think it's in the upper mezzanines, they still even have these old kind of railings with the old fruit and vegetable signs around. It's very, very cool experience. So everywhere you go, kind of in Newtown, is reminding you about that. There are some very cool dance schools around there. When I was there, I got to visit a dance school called Moving Into Dance. And they're really neat because they do some modern stuff like Afrofusion, but they also will do gumboots classes, which is this traditional type of South African dance that goes all the way back to when slaves were working in the mines and they had to come up with these kind of crazy rhythmic ways to talk to one another. So they would bang on their boots in the mines as this kind of Morse code way of communicating because they couldn't actually talk since they were supposed to be there working. So the thing about Josie, which is what a lot of locals call Johannesburg, is everywhere you look, you kind of get this old with the new. So yeah, there's the Market Theater doing modern works, but it's also in this old area. Or like I said, moving into dance, you can go get the new dance with the old. So Newtown, definitely not to miss. Very cool area. Another one of my favorite places is called Melville. It's this area in Johannesburg that's just totally cluttered with art galleries. There's also a lot of restaurants there. So while you're eating, a lot of the local artisans that maybe aren't showing in the galleries, maybe they're just kind of locals that are trying to get discovered, what they'll do is while you're eating at the outdoor cafes, they'll just walk in succession holding their works of art out. So you're just eating lunch with a friend and this parade of art is just coming by. And as you see something that catches your eye, you can just say, hey man, come over here. Let me see what you got there. And it's all just local art. So it's very well priced and it's just so neat to kind of have this moving collage of art as eating. Another thing that I would absolutely say is not to miss would be Soweto. Soweto stands for Southwest Townships. It's actually the largest grouping of townships in South Africa. For listeners who don't know what a township is, I'm going to have to step back a little bit on this one and try to keep it simple. During apartheid, a lot of black residents were displaced from their homes. So they were moved out of their homes and they were put in these kind of very, unfortunately, uninhabitable areas. And these tent cities basically sprung up. And most of them are still there. A lot of the older residents in the townships have been able to move into more stable housing, but it seems that as people move out of the townships, a lot of other people looking for ways to get ahead in South Africa will just move in. So there is this issue in some of these areas where these very, very poor areas still remain. That said, if you can get into a township, it will change you forever. The people there, the vibe in there, it's just absolutely amazing.
Now, when you say if you can get in, my understanding is it's generally not recommended to just walk into the township.
Yes, that's a really good point. Actually, I'm glad you brought it up. I probably would have skimmed over that. This is probably something that I would handle very carefully when you go. When we were in Cape Town, for example, it was hard to get into the townships there because a lot of the tour guides that we were working with at the time, because we covered Cape Town when we were in South Africa as well, said, oh, well, you're probably going to need a different guide to get you into the township. We didn't have that problem in Johannesburg, but I kind of want to bring it up because someone might. Sure. I would say if you're working with a tour company, definitely go in with someone local. But if you're working with a tour company to do that, try to keep working until you find someone that's comfortable to take you in there and show you around. There is so much history in Soweto specifically that if you can find someone comfortable enough to bring you in there and show you around and just take you around the place, it will forever change you. There are going to be some tours definitely that take you in there. It's a very important historical area. For example, that's where Nelson Mandela's home is. He lived there for a time. So you're always going to be able to jump on a tour that's going to take you into his house. But it's really getting in to Soweto where you're going to feel the vibe, going to some of the local restaurants. There's a street there called Vilakazi Street. It's the only street in the world that has housed two Nobel Peace Prize winners, both Archbishop Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela grew up or at least lived on that street for a time. So it's these kind of neat stories that are just around Soweto that you want to be in and feel. So yeah, I definitely try to keep finding a guide until someone takes you in there. One thing you can always do, I mean, I'm an advocate for voluntourism. I think it's a really cool movement. But even if that's not your thing, just finding out about maybe a nonprofit that's working in there is a cool way in as well. We went into another township when we were there called Alexandra. The locals call it Alex. And we worked with the Alexandra Development Forum. So that was just this kind of revitalization group. They were in there trying to help move some people's lives forward. And through meeting them, we got to spend the day in the township and just walk around and see what they were doing. But the people in the township knew them. So we were welcomed really well. So that's another idea, too. You could always kind of link up
Absolutely.
With an organization doing work there.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of voluntourism also. I've done 16 different trips, most of them to Mexico, but one to Africa, to up in Eastern Africa, up to Tanzania. But and my understanding is there's also trips that are run to from people from Soweto, because I know there's always the concern with when you're doing a tour of a township or something like it, am I learning or am I exploiting, being sensitive to the difference in economic situations that are going on there? Am I supporting?
You're so right.
Yeah. So
it's kind of a weird thing that you bump up against when you walk into an area like that. I mean, we were there doing a film series, for example, and we had our cameras at the ready. But at the same time, you feel like you want to be incredibly sensitive to the fact that you're walking into someone's home.
Sure.
What we weren't expecting was when we walked in, people saying, "Hey, take my picture. Come see my house. You're awesome. You want to meet my family?" Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I'm saying get into the townships, because I never would have expected to walk in there and feel that feeling of, oh gosh, how are we going to be received? Are we exploiting? And have people say, "No way, take my picture. Let me dance for you." It's just such a beautiful spirit in those townships.
Excellent. And what should we do next?
Okay. What we have to do next is, well, I have to mention the Apartheid Museum. I don't want to be too much about apartheid and townships, but I mean, it definitely is the legacy of where you're going. And the Apartheid Museum is world-class. I'd say best museum I've ever been in.
Hmm.
It's an amazing, amazing journey through their history. But on a lighter note, definitely get into the music. One cool thing that they've got, it's actually also in Newtown, which I had mentioned before, is the Drum Cafe. And we went to the Drum Cafe, and they teach you that to do drum circles. So the cool thing about African music is it's cyclical. It's not like the music that we're used to here in the States, where there's a scale and there's the very specific numerical progression. Mm-hmm. So when you can kind of link up with people and they can kind of teach you how to feel the beat, you automatically feel connected to them. So they let you play a djembe, and it's just a really good time. And even if you take a class with strangers there, you just immediately feel bonded. So I definitely say also just check out the music scene wherever you can.
Excellent. Okay. What was your biggest surprise going to Johannesburg?
My biggest surprise? That's a good one. Johannesburg was one of the biggest trips I've personally ever taken.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of nervousness just about being in a place so foreign to me. I've been to a lot of places since, but so many people told me before I left that I was going to have to be careful. I mean, the reality is Johannesburg does have a crime issue. You know, just like any other place, you've got to be really careful when you go out at night.
Mm-hmm.
And people had heard stories. I had heard stories, but so many people told me before I left that some sort of harm would befall me. You're going to get shot. Watch out. I mean, I was actually pretty ridiculous the first day we got out of the car. I think someone dropped a book on the ground in back of me, and I think I even like ducked and covered. I was so nervous to just be in this place that everyone had said something awful was going to happen in. And I think that was the biggest surprise, was realizing that big cities are big cities everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel any criminal activity happening around me. I felt safe. I feel safe. When I go back there, I feel welcome. It feels like any place that I'm just happy to be at. So I think that was probably my biggest surprise. After the initial one day of being there, I felt a lot safer in my own skin.
And you talked about this being a foreign environment. When did you feel closest to home, most familiar, and when did you feel furthest from home?
That's good, because I'm from Florida originally, so this one's tough for me, because close to home is almost always when we're on the beach. Then I always kind of feel, no matter where I am, I feel like I'm close to home. And that you definitely don't get in Johannesburg. I'll hit furthest from home first.
Okay.
Furthest from home is definitely being in a township.
Sure.
I remember the time that I was there. I'll get a little personal on you here. While I was there, my boyfriend called me to tell me that our refrigerator had broken. And I remember thinking, wow, that sounds really awful. And if I was home, that would be a really, really awful thing to have to deal with right now, and getting a new fridge and having to deal with all the spoiling food. But all I could think about was the reality of being in the townships and thinking about how much of a life people make with so little in those areas, and how joyful they are. And I just remember telling him on the phone when he called that night about the fridge, saying, "Dude, get a cooler. Get a cooler and smile, because we have so much." So that was definitely probably the time that I felt far from home, just thinking, wow, this is such a different life than I ever have had before. As far as feeling closest to home, we haven't even touched on the food yet. So that's probably when eating. Like, I'm an Italian, so home is a lot of times that feeling happens around a meal.
Sure.
And a lot of very, very cool food experience happens in Johannesburg. So I think that might have been when I felt the closest to home, just kind of being daring with food and trying all kinds of things.
Well, let's segue into food. I love talking about food, and those people who've seen me understand that. What kind of food experiences?
Yeah, I can't believe that this is taking me this long to bring up food, actually. One thing I would definitely say wherever you go is try something indigenous. If you can stomach it, you know, obviously people have all kinds of dietary restrictions, but I don't. I'll try anything. It's kind of known in my group. I'll eat anything. My craziest food experience when I was there was there's this restaurant that I love in Johannesburg. It's also in that Newtown area. It's called Sophia Town. Okay. And not only do they have some upscale cool things, but they've also got some very neat indigenous dishes that just pay homage to some of the areas around. So it's like our third time eating there, and I noticed on the menu for the first time that they had this dish called Mapani worms. And yeah, exactly. And of course, I'm probably the first one in our group to realize it, saying, hey, is this right? Am I reading this right? They've got worms on the menu. And then, of course, I had to find out more. So it's this dish. It's from the north of South Africa. It's this area called the Limpopo province. Mm-hmm. So they eat Mapani worms there. It's actually a really important source of protein. And they serve them at Sophia Town. So, of course, I had to have them serve some up. So that's probably the strangest thing I ate while I was in Johannesburg.
How were they?
They were crunchy, which was surprising. They're big. They were probably about the size of my thumb each. Hmm. And I later found out that Mapani worms grow into emperor moths, if that gives you kind of a sense for their size. But their main diet is mango leaves. So they're crunchy because I imagine it's a bit of the mango leaf left over after the poor worms are no more. So they were surprisingly crunchy. They were also kind of drenched in a little bit of tomato sauce. So I think I would have liked them more had they not been in tomato sauce. But the experience, you just can't beat. So we actually have a video of that. And I'm pretty proud of the fact that I tried some massive Mapani worms. You also just can't beat the game. If you're someone who really likes a steak, this is the place to do it. I mean, I can't even name, I think, all the different game that I tried when we were in South Africa. It's every animal that I saw, whether we were on safari or otherwise, I'd say, is that something we can eat somewhere? So there's a lot of that. Braai is a term that you hear a lot in South Africa, which is basically kind of like their version of a backyard barbecue, but it's a lot of game that they cook at these things. Okay. So that's another thing to definitely look up while you're there. See if there are any braais around, because sometimes they'll be cooking up kudu. Or, I mean, you can get ostrich anywhere, basically, in South Africa. Ostrich burgers.
Ostrich, sure.
Very easy to come by. So, yeah, definitely the game is worth trying. If there's anything there that you would like to know about as far as what's tasty and what's not, I mean, I can definitely go on.
What was your favorite?
For game?
Yep.
Oh, yes. Absolutely had to be the impala. Impala is delicious. Very, very good. Wildebeest was good. It was a little chewier. I did not enjoy crocodile. I wouldn't really consider crocodile game, but it kind of tastes like ham, so that's no fun. But yeah, if you like something cut just like a steak and you really just want to try the flavors of it, you just can't beat it.
Yeah.
Making me hungry, Chris.
What was the best day you had there?
Oh, that's a good question. My best day would be when we went into Alex. As I was saying before, we went in with the Alexandra Development Forum. So they're this group that was just revitalizing the community as best they could. And they were so known there that everybody we met was just kind of like, hey, what's your story? Welcome to Alex. What can we show you? So we were really getting to see these areas that we wouldn't get to see otherwise. And they took us to this local little place to eat for lunch. And a lot of the locals came out to eat with us. It was my first time getting to try pop, which I didn't mention before. That's actually a very, very traditional. It's also called mealy pop in places. Mm-hmm. It's a grain. It's almost similar to grits. Okay. And they cook it into like a little cake, but it still has a little bit of viscosity to it. It's still a little wet. And traditionally, you'll eat dishes with your hands there. So you'll get your meat and your pop and you kind of all ball it up together in your hands and eat it together.
Oh, okay.
And it was my first real South African meal while we were there. I think it was about a week into our trip. So here we're trying pop. We've got this meat. There's all these locals around and they're passing around this crazy hot salsa. They call it chakalaka and they're pouring it all over everything. So our lips are just kind of burning off and we're all talking and laughing. And it just, you felt very, very welcome. And that was probably my best day. I think the name of that restaurant was called Joe's. So it'd be sitting at Joe's, eating pop and chakalaka and talking to some of the locals, I think was my best day.
Excellent. And you talked about meeting the locals. Who was the most memorable person you met?
Well, I have a crazy amazing job.
Oh, yeah. I've been enjoying the videos and the project. Yeah.
So I am fortunate enough to get to meet a lot of people that I hope everyone would get to meet in their trip. But for me, it would be the founder of the Apartheid Museum. His name is Dr. John Connie. He's an amazing man, and he endured a lot during apartheid. And he's one of the co-founders, I should say, of the Apartheid Museum. And we did an interview with him in the museum. They actually were amazing enough to close it down for us on that day. So we got to explore the museum on a day that no one else was there and talk to him about what it was like to found it. So he's the person in Johannesburg that I'd definitely say has had the most impact on me.
Excellent. Now, you said you went overly scared in terms of what was going to happen, but what's one warning you would send with people?
Always be smarter than your surroundings. Okay. That's not specific to Johannesburg. I live in New York. I've been out when it's very dark in Times Square, and you're with friends, and you just know, hey, we're not supposed to stop moving in this area. Guys, let's keep going. And sure enough, if you pause for too long, someone's going to approach you. That's always something that you should keep in the back of your mind. Just be smarter than your surroundings. Always know when someone's around you. It's great that you feel safe in a place. It's great that you are safe in a lot of places, but just remember that. And I think don't go anywhere alone. I know a lot of people that listen to your show probably do backpack and they go on adventures alone. But if you're going to be in Johannesburg late at night, you know, find a friend, find someone, meet someone. Just try not to be alone at night after dark. I'd say that any big city after dark, just be smarter than where you are.
Okay. Now, you talked about where you ate. Did you have any recommendations in terms of where to stay that were memorable or memorable in a bad way, either way?
I do actually have some interesting recommendations for places to stay. Unfortunately, they're not the most inexpensive, but they're going to get you some very cool experiences if you can afford it. When we stayed, we actually didn't stay right in Johannesburg. We are lucky enough to get hotel sponsors because of what we do. So we stayed in the business area, which is always an option. Mm-hmm. They gave us a very good deal. So you might be able to do something like that. The only thing is you're going to kind of then see the costs pop up from taking taxis back and forth from the outskirts of Johannesburg into it. So it just depends on kind of where you want to spend the money. But my recommendations would be there's an area called Mandela Square. And it's this complex. It's got incredible shopping, tons of restaurants. It's very cosmopolitan. And there are several hotels in there. So you can actually like stay in the complex, which is really nice if you kind of want to feel the downtown vibe. And then when you come back to the hotel, just want to stay around that area to do your shopping and to do your eating and then have the hotel right there. It's a very trendy area. So there's that. There's also an area called the Melrose Arch, which is, it's a little more upscale, a little more trendy. You're definitely paying for your environment, though. That one has a couple of really, really swanky kind of suite hotels. And there's one very expensive one that I just have to mention because I don't think I could ever afford to stay there. But if anyone listening can, it seems like it would be worth it. It's called the Westcliff.
Okay.
And it's got a spa. It's really remote. It looks like this amazing, amazing cliffside just kind of palace. And it's right next to the zoo. So certain rooms, you can literally like see giraffes and things like that. So it's just, it's kind of a crazy time. Ooh, zoo, that reminds me. There's one thing I forgot to tell you, actually. If you're not going to get to go on safari while you're in South Africa, or you're traveling with kids and you kind of want to give them the excitement of seeing animals in their own surroundings, there's a theme park called Lion Park.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see all kinds of animals. And there are areas to kind of drive through and do a little drive safari. You can feed giraffes. So that's a really fun place too. It's definitely not the same thing as safari, but if you need a good thing to switch out in a pinch, definitely, I forgot to mention Lion Park.
And I'm assuming you did get to go out and go to safari and we would recommend that as a side trip. What side trips would you recommend from Johannesburg?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, safari, yeah, definitely. It's a little more than a side trip. When you say side trip, do you mean something that you can kind of go away and do and come back to Johannesburg that same night?
Or? Well, it depends. It sounds like you're saying a safari, not so much.
Well, yeah, well, you typically have to drive or fly a little further out to get into the really rural areas of South Africa. But if by side trip you mean can take a couple days and go do something incredible, I'd say safari, hands down. Everyone in the world should go on safari at least once in their life.
And where did you go?
But we were in KwaZulu-Natal. And it
I love
was,
the names.
don't you? I know, KwaZulu-Natal, just so good. It was probably my most salient travel experience, hands down, ever, going on safari. I can say that, actually, yes, conclusively, best experience ever. Go on safari, people.
Now, most people I know when they go on safari are trying to see the big five. It sounds like you were trying to see something you could eat.
Well, you know, that was part of it, but I didn't go with that in mind. But it just kind of happens. But, you know, there's just something about being in a place where you are just completely aware that you are visiting.
Yeah.
There is no question about the fact that you are standing in someone else's territory. This was the animals' world, and we were just there as observers. When you're in places like that, I just feel like you can hear God speaking. It's a very, very profound experience to just feel small in your own world, because we always feel like we're the center of our world as people walking around all the time. And that's a place where you are very much hushed and you feel like you are very fortunate.
Excellent.
So that's a good side trip. For smaller side trips, I'd say there's the Cradle of Humankind, which is just a very cool experience if you get to go. I have a master's in anthropology, so that was kind of an exciting side trip for me. That's where the earliest hominids actually have been found, in this area right outside of Johannesburg. So that's a really cool thing if you want to check out some really neat history. And there's Pretoria, which it's the administrative capital of South Africa. It's really beautiful. It's predominantly Afrikaans, so it's a very, very different vibe.
Oh, interesting.
But it's, yeah, it was the center of the apartheid state. So it's got just a very different feel. But I would definitely challenge people to feel both as well, because Johannesburg in that area is about everything. If there's one thing that you could say about Johannesburg, it's they've come through so much. They've endured so much and they've forgiven so much that it really would behoove you to kind of get the whole story. So Pretoria would definitely be part of that.
And South Africa, generally, you can get around in English. Any more problems in Pretoria with that?
No, I didn't notice any.
Okay.
But speaking of getting around, definitely expect to take cabs. I haven't really met anyone that got around in Johannesburg or Pretoria that wasn't using cabs to go everywhere. So definitely, you're probably going to spend a little money there. So just know that, too, because I didn't mention that before.
As we start to wind this down...
Sure.
What can we not stop talking about Johannesburg before we at least mention what?
One thing that I'd just say that's just timely for right now with the World Cup going to South Africa.
Oh, sure.
Is it's got just such a dynamic and important history for the world. I think if you don't know about apartheid and you don't know especially about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and what they've been able to do in such a short time, turning their country around, forgiving past crimes and saying that was our past. If we want to move forward, we have to throw all of this off of us and be more. If you're a sports fan and you're going to be following the World Cup there, I think, you know, you owe it to yourself to find out about why this is so important, why now they're just playing on a global scale and they're back in it and they've turned their country around in such a short period of time. I think if you're someone that's going to be following their sports journey, try to follow their historical journey, because it's a beautiful, beautiful journey. I think they're an incredible example for the rest of the world.
Excellent. Last two questions.
Okay.
You finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Johannesburg when what?
You really know you're in Johannesburg when you hear somebody say, "Yebo."
Okay. Which means?
It means yes. It's just kind of this is Zulu or Xhosa expression of, yeah, baby. I actually had some trouble with that. When we got back, we were at a South African play. We were back in the States at a South African play. And I was so moved at one point that I shouted it out and everyone turned and looked at me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did that. But at the same time, the people on stage loved it. But, you know, no one in the audience knew what I was talking about. So when you hear someone say Yebo, that would be a good one.
Last question. If you had to summarize Johannesburg in three words, what three words would you use?
Joy. Triumph.
Huh?
And an art.
Interesting. Okay. Lana, if someone wanted to learn more about your trip, where should they go?
Ooh, that's easy. Go to projectexplorer.org.
Okay.
And you're going to want to click on the South Africa series. First, you'd have to pick an age group. I'm their high school host. So if you're an older listener, definitely go to high school. And you have two options there. We've got South Africa Part 1 and South Africa Part 2. South Africa Part 2 isn't going to deal with Johannesburg. That's more, we had a series with Archbishop Desmond Tutu and a Pulitzer Prize winning photojournalist Greg Marinovich. So that's at Part 2. So you've got both options there.
Excellent. Alana, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing your obvious love for Johannesburg and for South Africa.
Thank you so much, Chris.
I only have one thing that I'm going to do in this section of the show. This would normally be the internet resources and then the community news, but I have a fairly large announcement, and that is, as of the middle of January, I will be leaving my day job, and I will be self-employed and trying to make a go of it with the podcast. That explains some of the things that I've talked about recently on the show in terms of doing some trips and trying to do a premium site that will have some additional information behind it. That was all with a go of, can I make a go at the podcast and some of the related businesses as my day job? So that's going to be an interesting experiment for me. I'm also going to be looking at doing some social media and new media consulting. I'm obviously going to be looking at getting more advertising on the show. And I could use your help, if nothing else, just your good thoughts. If you have any ideas for advertisers, or if you know some contacts that I could talk to, that would be terrific. Or certainly any ideas in terms of how else I can do this and turn this into something that is still of value to you, but something that becomes my day job. And I'm trying to do this in such a way that I have more flexibility in terms of where I work and also in terms of traveling more. So I thought you might be interested in hearing that, and I'll let you know how it goes. I'm certainly hoping it's something that will work out. Obviously, for my family, if I can't make it pay the mortgage, then I'll have to change. My one fear is that if I do have to change, I certainly may not end up at a place that allows me the time and the flexibility and the freedom that my current job has given me to do the show. So it might be one of those things that I either make it go, or the show has to happen a little less often, or, you know, we'll see. But that is my plan, to make a go of the Amateur Traveler and associated businesses as my day job. So I thought you might be interested. With that, if you're interested, you can leave a comment on this show, as well as send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me and some of my adventures on Twitter at Chris2X. And if you're interested in more information about what I'll be doing, I'll be putting that mostly on the Chris2X blog. Chris2X is my personal and now my business blog, and that's at Chris2X.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.